Well, obviously, if you're looking at the scripture that she just read, I think if you had to hone in on a particular word, probably worry would be the one that you would that stood out from the rest. And so, having said that, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you worried to the point where it kept you up at night? Oh, yeah, a lot of head shaking there. Amen. Me too. But I love what Jesus says, and I know it's easier said than done. I get that. By the way, there's a difference between worried and being concerned. To say that we're not concerned concerning some matters in our lives would be foolish. But Jesus is particularly talking about being worried. And so he says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? And I think that's true. It's an interesting observation that Jesus makes, not just 2,000 years ago, because people were worried back then just as much as they are today. Why? Because people crave. You know what we're craving for? We're hungering for, we're desiring of peace. Isn't that what we want in our lives? I mean, we want peace in our lives. Is there any better place to be than when you're at peace? I mean, when you really have peace and you could put your head on the pillow at night and you could go, ah, I've got peace. That's a great feeling. Some people try to find it through buying stuff or, you know, whatever they do to find that peace. It's never lasting. Because Jesus is talking about lasting peace in our lives. But worry, in many ways, is part of the human condition. You know, we're wired kind of to worry when we think on something too long and too hard. And what happens when we get into that mode? Peace becomes fleeting. It leaves us. And that's why we stay up at night staring at the ceiling. And I've said this before, sometimes when I can't sleep, there's a light that comes from our clock, and I start making animal figures on the wall. At my age, just think, still a child. You know, I went to have an exam at Stony Brook Hospital this past Tuesday, or was it? Maybe it was Wednesday. And there were two technicians. I don't know if they were nursing assistants. They were dressed in medical pullovers, if you will. And one gal said to the other, she goes, I can't stand it. I'm getting so fat. Now, I want to tell you, if she stood sideways, you couldn't even see her. But she was so worried about her weight. And I'm saying, my Lord, you can't afford to lose any more weight. But obviously for her, probably keeps her up at night unnecessarily. And how about worried about money? People are worried about, you know, that paycheck doesn't last till the end of the week, and there's a lot of concern about money. It's like the person who's drowning in credit card debt, right? Making the minimum payments on a huge balance, and all he's doing is paying the minimum amount, and yet he's a speed demon on his keyboard buying stuff from Amazon. You pass his house, there's FedEx delivered 6-7 boxes. And the balance keeps getting larger and larger, but he tells you, I'm worried about my finances, I don't know how I'm going to pay my electric bill. And you get the picture. Sometimes we got to use wisdom. It requires some work on our part, not just saying, Lord, pay my credit card bill. And all of a sudden, manna is going to fly down from heaven. It doesn't work that way. I love what a student in college, if you've been in college and you've been part of the dorm life, you'll appreciate this. He had an outgoing message on his answering machine. Listen to what he says. Hi, this is Fred. If it's the phone company, I already sent you the money. If it's mom and dad, please send me more money. If it's the financial aid office, you didn't give me enough money. And if it's my girlfriend, don't worry, I've got enough money to go out for dinner. He didn't even want to answer his phone because he was worried about finances. And so, worry. Look at that word on the screen. Big letters, question mark. Worry. How do we deal with it? Over and over, if you go through scriptures, you will see that there's a lot of attention given to us why we should not worry. Not just what Jesus said here. It's in several of the epistles written by the Apostle Paul. You could find it in Proverbs. You could find it in the Psalms. Amen, Jackson. Some people are even shocked. Listen to this. They're shocked when there's peace in their life. They're actually waiting for the other shoe to drop. Oh, I just know something's going to happen. Because they're always thinking about living in a constant drama, constant stress situations. Listen, there are seasons when the other shoe is not going to drop. And just rest in a season of peace, and the waters are calm. Don't look for the storm, because we might get it. And one thing I've learned over the years, and perhaps you have too, and this is the truth, my friends, being a Christian does not exempt us from trials. Being a Christian does not mean that all of a sudden we're never going to experience tribulation and challenges and things that are going to come our way in life. It's part of life itself. And if you've lived long enough, you know that to be true, that we're all going to experience one time or the other situations that are going to just challenge us and try to rob us of our peace and wanting us to slip into a mode of worry. I love what Jesus says in John 14:27. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." He's encouraging us. When you get in that season where you're starting to get stressed out and you feel like your whole world is collapsing, that's the moment you got to stop and pause and say, "Lord, I trust in you. I need your help." I'm telling you, it works, and many of you know that to be true. Now, why is it important to capture that understanding of what Jesus is saying? Well, I think it's the crux of what Jesus is saying to us in this scripture that was read by Rhonda, where it says, where do you or I place our trust? I mean, our ultimate trust. I mean, we trust our physicians, we trust our spouse, we trust people that we hold in confidence. That's good, but do we also place our trust, our primary trust, in Jesus, when things come our way like that? I love what Rick Warren said, and I want to read this, and it's a book that was a bestseller, The Purpose-Driven Life. Maybe some of you read it. I read it again and again every couple of years. I want to quote him for a minute. Pastor Rick Warren is a pastor of a large church in California, well-respected, written many books. Listen to what he says, and I quote, "Worry is the warning light that God is really not first in my life in that particular moment." In that particular moment. Because worry says that God's not big enough to handle my troubles. The antidote to worry is putting God first. See, it goes back to what Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." Jesus was saying, "Seek me first." Before you check with Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil and Dr. whomever. I love what Martin Luther said. He said this, and I thought it was so cool. I shared it with my wife the other day. He says, "Pray and let God worry about it." I love it. Hundreds of years ago, he proclaimed this. Pray and let God worry about it. I love that. And by the way, don't ever believe that you're going to shock God. God is never going to say, you know what, Chuck, I never thought of that. It doesn't work that way. God knows all things. And so the Apostle Paul basically said the same thing in Romans, to put our hope and trust in God. And he says, peace will overflow the circumstances that you're struggling with. And oftentimes we lose peace because we've misplaced our basic joy and peace that we know we've experienced before and we can experience again. Just look back. Every now and then, I know it says put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Once in a while, you got to look back to say, you know what? I did have peace in my life and I could have it again. And sometimes our sophisticated and rational minds get in the way of having a childlike faith. We think a childlike faith means being childish. No, no, no. It's just like the little child who's in a tree and jumps into his or her mother or father's arms. They totally trust that you're going to catch them. And we need to be that way with God. And so Proverbs, this is one of my favorite passages. Do not be anxious about anything, but through prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and he will give you a peace beyond understanding, and he'll calm your heart, your troubled hearts and minds. And Jesus consistently says, trust in me with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and I'll get you through this trial that you're going through now. Isn't that a beautiful affirmation to realize that God cares? You know, you never get a busy signal with God. God never goes on vacation. God never, Michelle, disconnect your phone. Never does that. I'm sorry, Michelle says she gets all these telemarketer calls like I do, and she disconnected her phone and forgot to reconnect it. I've done it myself. I am sure each of us have found ourselves in a place of uneasiness, anxiety, and unable to sleep. You acknowledge that by your response when I asked you the opening question. It all boils down to this, my friends. How will we choose to respond to the challenge that's causing us to be anxious? That's what Jesus is asking. Jill Briscoe, she wrote a book, Heart to Heart. I want to quote her, if I may. We can worry or we can worship, she says. Strangely enough, busy people find it a whole lot easier to worry than worship. We'd rather worry than to turn it over to God and worship. And so Jesus tells us to cheer up. He wants for us to have a joyful and peaceful spirit. On the other hand, the enemy of God, who is Satan, he wants to keep us uptight. He wants to keep us anxious and worry and doubtful and distracted. And that's why Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, be alert. Our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him and stand firm. And it says, and he will flee. So for those who don't believe there's really a devil, I can tell you it's not that kid that knocked on your door for Halloween. The devil's a real spirit. There's spiritual warfare going on in the heavenlies, it says in the Bible. I believe that. That's why there's so much evil in the world. When you shake your head and you say, how could one human being do this to another human being? How? It's evil. And if he keeps distracting us, and I touched on this in my message last week, He'll make us to be unfocused and unbalanced. He'll make us off guard. And if you know anything about boxing or the UFC, the MMA, the key is to keep your opponent off balance so that you can give that blow that'll knock your opponent out. And that's what the devil's good at. You know, all of you know Muhammad Ali, the great fighter, right? Muhammad Ali was a master at this, keeping his opponent off guard. He would frustrate his opponent. And then he developed a new strategy called the rope-a-dope. And he would just stand there, and George Foreman, with these big tree trunk arms, he's punching away, and Ali's going, "Is that all you got? Is that all you got?" He wore his arms down. And then Ali says, "Okay, now it's time to knock you out." Boom. So they interviewed Foreman, who, by the way, is a minister in Texas. They interviewed Foreman, and I think Cole Sells said, "What happened?" He said, "Ali was the rope and I was the dope. And I got knocked out." And by the way, one time Foreman did beat Ali, and he broke down and cried because he felt he beat a real champ. Well, I want to tell you something. Satan is even better at this than Ali concerning the rope-a-dope. He wears us out. "I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to call this person. Maybe I could fix it by doing this." And then we're totally exhausted and we're useless. And we become depressed. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So be cheerful today. Be cheerful today. Jesus tells us, cheer up and rejoice. Lighten up a little bit. You know, maybe we're watching too much news. I've said this. You want to get depressed? You want to lose sleep? Watch some news. Go to Friendly's and have a major breakfast to the point where you're going to explode. And walk out of there and say, "Man, I feel good." Watch a funny movie on Netflix, something that's going to cause your face to hurt. And laugh. Do something. Get out of the news cycle. You know, I'm not saying forever. I want to be up to date. But get, just pull out of it for a season and then go back to it next week. But just get your life centered again, because you've been off balance. The world seems like it was spinning out of control with everything that's gone on. People are saying, "I can't wait till I see 2020 in my rearview mirror." This has been a tough year, folks. And for some of you, in more deeper ways, losses and so forth. But lighten up, he says. The Apostle Paul reminds us, the Lord is near, not to be anxious, to pray, to be thankful, and God will help us with our struggle. And then he says, God will give us peace and will ease our troubled hearts and minds. And I want to tell you, when I'm going through a trial, and I've been through some, just as you have, there's nothing like saying, "You know, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I can't. I tried everything." And then God goes, "McFly, I've been trying to get your attention, and now you're telling me you can't do it anymore. All right, give it to me." Let me just end with this and say this. Today's a day that you've never seen before, ever. It's a brand new day. And you'll never see it again, because then it will become history and it will become yesterday. And tomorrow hasn't come here yet, Jesus said. Focus on today, because it's a brand new day that we've never seen before in our lives. And let me tell you, folks, and you know this, every day is a precious gift from God. Amen. And here's what God asks us. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with today? Call somebody that you haven't talked to in a while. Read a book that's been collecting dust on your shelf. Go out and rake some leaves. Put them on your neighbor's lawn. Like my neighbor does. He tells me it's the leaf blower. No, it's you with the leaf blower. But remember, worry is an investment with no return, friends. No return. Maybe no good return. Trust Jesus. Jesus is saying to us, trust me and see what happens today. Give it over to me and watch me go to work on this situation that's keeping you up at night. You willing to give it a try? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'd just like to tuck in a quick prayer, and I pray that anybody who's struggling with anxiety this morning, and I'm sure it's serious, that it's not mundane or superficial. It's a real concern. I pray for each person who might be experiencing that today or in the future, that they would turn it all over to you, trust in you, and then give them that peace which passes all understanding. And all God's children said, Amen.